You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J., TCRG.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TCRG to CEO Radio. It warms my heart to hear how many people enjoyed last week's episode with Scott Doherty. He is truly a gem in our Irish dancing world, and I hope everyone had the chance to listen and potentially work with him or allow your dancers to work with him in the future. Today's episode is going to be a solo episode, and I guess I'm feeling particularly inspired by how we're in the midst of Arachta's season. Emotions are probably high out there, stress is probably high out there, and I know there are a variety of different types of people that listen to this podcast. Most of us are Irish dance professionals, be it teachers, choreographers, adjudicators. Many people that listen are dancers and might be stepping on stage themselves in the next couple of weeks, or maybe you're one of those regions that are already finished and you're kind of in that post-Arachta's wonder reflection period, and hopefully something that comes out of this episode might resonate with you. And then I know there's a small group of Irish dance parents that listen to this as well, along with maybe retired dancers that are still supporting people in the dance community. And I hope to address each and every one of those groups through this episode in just the Arachta's season reminders for everyone out there. So this will be a little bit of a different episode. It's not scripted. It's not even bullet pointed, to be honest. We're going to just talk open, honest, right from the heart, off the cuff. And I think this is going to slot perfectly between my interview with Scott that came out last week. And I have a special guest coming up next week who many of you will know from social media, the Irish dance social media world. And I think in the midst of Arachta season, this particular guest is going to offer a lot of reflective insight and things for dancers to remember, or even teachers to remember about certain dancers in their class that might be struggling or experiencing different emotions after the Arachtas. And I don't want to give it away, but I think it's a really different interview than anything we've had so far, but I think it's going to be really important and at least spark a few different conversations or thoughts within our community. And there are things that really are important that we acknowledge and kind of figure out a way to talk about in our classes, or if you're a parent listening to this podcast, you know, how to have that conversation with your dancer. So you can look forward to that next week. But for now, it's just me, myself, and I. All right, so teachers, how are we doing? We've been preparing and practicing and getting dancers ready for this big weekend for what feels like forever. We have said the corrections over and over again. You have those dancers that have really taken them on board and you're so proud of their progress. And then you have the dancers that maybe haven't been listening or haven't been taking it to heart or think that maybe they don't need to listen. And, you know, we all have them. How are we feeling? Teachers, go ahead and take a collective deep breath. And I guess my message for teachers is, the way I approach an Arachta is to try and be as calm and present and attentive as I can possibly be. Try to slow down what feels like an adrenaline rush of a lifetime and kind of just be that steady constant in what can otherwise be a really overwhelming environment. Your dancers are used to being in the studio or wherever you practice, and then they come into this completely overstimulating environment where it feels like there's just the pressure has amplified. You know, suddenly all of those goals and big dreams they've had, they're having to confront, and they put so much pressure on themselves. So what is the constant in this situation is the teacher, their classmates, the people that are with them. And I think if we can approach that day, you know, kind of like it's just another time you're dancing and you're not making it this big, huge deal, it can help bring their stress level down, have that, you know, weirdly comforting you know, friendly face. And I know that we're not all friendly all the time. You know, I think that's what they need in this stressful time. They already put so much pressure on themselves that they don't need to feel like their teachers are putting pressure on them as well. And we all know that they're often their harshest critics. So, you know, I was saying to the dancers in my class, you know, in the last couple weeks, you know, hey, like, I see you dance all the time. I see you dance almost every day during the week. And, you know, I give you these corrections and feedback and, you know, you take them, you go away, you write them down, or you work on them. And there's never a ton of, you know, emotion involved. It's not like I give someone a correction of like, hey, you know, you need to point your feet in the back at the end. You need to turn out and cross tighter here. And it's not like they hear that and they go away crying or something, feeling so upset with themselves. But somehow they're going to get up and dance probably the exact same way, right? Something that I've come to expect, you know, things they're still working on maybe are still there. And, you know, they're going to come off stage. They haven't even come to see you or their parents or anything. And they're already in tears. They're already crying. And you're saying, you know, what's wrong? And they're like, oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. And you're thinking to yourself, what are you talking about? This is what I see you do all the time. Like, it's not bad. It's just suddenly we're here and it's this big day and you were expecting to feel awesome, feel amazing coming off stage. And we all know that the reality is that doesn't happen by magic. And again, the dancer is being so hard on themselves because this is their big day. This is what they feel like they've worked for months. So what has helped us in our class, and this was something that Christian introduced, was we have the dancers take a little piece of notebook paper, scrap paper, and write down what they want from us on their dance day. So we have dancers that really want to keep to themselves on their dance day. It helps them stay in their best mental, you know, energy zone. It helps them stay focused. Then we have the dancers that, you know, you don't hear a peep from normally that are suddenly talking, you know, and wanting to socialize with everybody because they're nervous and they need to kind of get that energy out and they want to be around. They want us to talk with them, chat with them. We have dancers who would much rather see Christian instead of me or vice versa. And we have them write that down, number one, so that they've kind of acknowledged those thoughts and things they have in their head and know that it's okay to have certain things. And then it also gets transferred to us so we can read it and see it and kind of remember that as we're dealing with them on the day. We have dancers that want to know, you know, they want to know the best of what they did. You know, like, hey, tell me what I did really well. Like, tell me something I can be proud of. And then we have other dancers that only want to know the things that went wrong or things that we thought they did poorly so that they don't set their expectations too high or so that they stay hungry for that next round. So every dancer is so different. My favorite one that someone wrote down this year was, quote, be normal. And we asked, like, well, what does that mean? And they go, you know, just like be your normal selves. Like, don't get too hyped. Like, don't get, you know, too like frenzied. And we're like, okay, yeah, no worries. We'll be normal. And we also remind the other dancers in the class that on everyone's dance day, they might present differently than they do normally. You know, your best friend might not want to talk to you that day. And it's not personal. It's just that's what they need to do to stay focused and do their best. And we ask everyone to respect each other's different wishes and, you know, ways they want to approach their competition and kind of tell them, like, it's okay to set those boundaries and it's okay to, you know, do what you need to do to have the day you want to have. So for teachers, I think that's kind of my biggest, I wouldn't even call it advice. I don't know what I would call it. My biggest reminder. I think that's what we're going to call this episode. And then for the dancers, for those that listen to the podcast, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I tell my class. even though you've been working for months and weeks, maybe even years, right, for this day, it's been in the making for some time. You might have big goals, whether it's to, you know, recall for the first time, qualify to nationals, qualify to worlds, make a personal best, right? Top 20, top 10, top 5, win, whatever your goal is. Remember that this is one singular day, one singular competition out of many. And although it's an important one, it still is only one day. And we all know that depending on all the different variables, which judges are drawn for your competition, which round they watch, what combination of people sit down to judge that any round, you know, who you get up to dance with. If we change any of those variables, we could get a slightly different result, right? Maybe not drastically differently, but, you know, a slightly different result because of that inherent subjectivity that exists within the sport. So I want you to remember to zoom out just a little bit. Zoom out and remember that it's one singular day, and that singular day does not reflect on you as a person, certainly. It is not an indication of your character. It does not mean if things didn't go your way that you didn't work hard enough. It doesn't mean that if you don't make your result that you're not good enough. And likewise, if you achieve your goal and achieve your dream, of course, you can celebrate, you can be happy, but also remember it's one day. It doesn't give you a get out of jail free card for the rest of time. It doesn't guarantee you anything going into your next competition. It is one singular day. And the most important thing that can come from this is that you ask yourself after the fact, have I improved in any way, however small, even maybe in a specific area, from my last competition to now, or from my last Aractas to now, or from nationals to now, whatever it is. Because the one good thing about having a big competition, a big thing in the calendar, is that it did give you kind of an end date and an end deadline for whatever improvements that you were trying to make, which means you've probably made considerable progress in working towards this one day. So even if you don't make your goal, ask yourself, am I closer to hitting that goal? Have I improved through the process? Am I getting there? Because if the answer to that is yes, then this one day, looking back, will be just a stepping stone towards that goal. It might not be your achievement date, but it's going to be part of that journey and that process when you look back on it one day. So take that one day for what it truly is. It's just one day. And I know it's really hard in the moment, particularly if you're disappointed with how that one day goes, to either have regrets of what you thought you could do better to prepare, or, you know, maybe you have some slight mishap and wondering, you know, well, what if that was the thing that made it go wrong? Or just there's so many things that run through your head after the fact. And the fact is, there's nothing you can do to change it once it's done. The only thing you can do is reflect and then move on to whatever the next thing is. I know for me, I love to take December and shift the focus off of competition completely and spend the time working either on, you know, kind of those weird skills to develop, like really understanding rhythm or really understanding how to do a new movement or trying to do, you know, a movement we already know but with a different like flair or technique or style on it, and kind of let everyone just play and explore and, you know, take a step back for a second. And if that's what you need to do, then by all means do it. Everyone kind of has that post competition, you know, either elation or, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that have heard of like post major depression. I think that people refer to it as on the Irish Dance social media, where it's like you are. You're kind of like, ugh, like this is over. Like, what do I do now? You can feel a little bit lost in what to practice or like where to go now that this big thing is over and it has passed. So dancers, just remember, zoom out. Zoom out. It's one day. For any of the parents that listen to the show, my number one reminder is to be there supporting your dancer no matter what. Because part of the beauty of this sport is that no one can get up there and do it for them. You know, Scott said it really nicely last week where it's often more stressful for the parents and the teachers because you have seen the dancer put so much into this, whether it's time, effort, blood, sweat, tears, working through injuries, all of the things. But we can't get up there and do it for them. And in the same way, if things go really well, you know, it is the achievement that they have made, and like we can sit there and be so, so happy and celebrate with them. But when it doesn't go their way and they're so upset, there's really not a lot we can do because they had to get up there and do it. And they're the ones who have to get up, like come off stage and work through what happens next. So parents, I know everyone who is there supporting their dancer, you've also put a lot of time and effort and money behind this. And I know as a teacher, I don't take that lightly. I don't take that for granted. And I know that it can be really frustrating either watching your dancer seem like they've done their very best and maybe not get rewarded for it. Or I know lots of dancers have those small little rivalries or small little things, you know, with maybe people that they've danced through from childhood with that maybe they're always neck and neck or they're always kind of going back and forth. And it can be hard for some parents to watch another child achieve success. But at the end of the day, this is all part of the dancer growing and learning and evolving as a person. Because in victory, in defeat, in working through how to be sportsmanlike, it's an important lesson for the dancer to sit with those feelings and know what to do with them. And as the adult and the parent in the situation, it is your responsibility to help model those appropriate behaviors. And again, supporting your dancer no matter what. They can get up there and forget their steps. They don't need their parent shaming them or making them feel like, you know, oh, we came all this way and we spent all this money and, you know, you get up there and did that. The dancer doesn't need it because the dancer is already beating themselves up about it. There's nothing that as a teacher and a parent we can say that will make them feel any better in that moment. So as the parent, what I encourage you to do is have the conversation with your dancer of what they would like from you on their dance day, and with that, what they absolutely don't want you to do on their dance day. And if the dancers are still listening to this portion of the episode, I encourage you to set some boundaries with your parent or support person that day. And it could sound something like, hey, mom, thanks so much for bringing me to the Oireachtas. I am going to be really stressed and I'm going to be really nervous. So I want to be able to kind of do what I need to do. But if you could just sit in the ballroom and make sure you listen to the announcements and text me if there's, you know, something that I need to know, whether we're lining up or we're starting. And also, can you sit here so that I know where to find you really quickly if I need something? That can be a really good way to set expectations. And I know as a parent, you probably want to feel needed or like you want to feel like your dancer wants you involved in the ways that you can be involved. I know for a lot of parents, you know, Irish dancing and the community is a big part of your life as well, because you spend so much time with your dancer driving to class. I've heard parents say time and time again that their favorite part of, you know, the Irish dance experience is like the amount of time that they actually get to spend with their dancer, driving to class, driving to feshes, you know, that one-on-one time that maybe you wouldn't normally get. And I think that's what makes it difficult for parents sometimes to just take a step back and like kind of acknowledge the situation and let their dancer kind of lead the way on what they need. And for dancers, it can just help your parent have a certain job or have a certain purpose that is helpful to you without becoming overwhelming, because there's nothing worse than the dancer and parents, you know, quibbling and quarreling on dance day over, you know, little things. I know my mom and I used to always fight about makeup and, you know, of course, being a teenager, you don't want to listen to your mom. And, you know, even though she says you need lipstick, you're like, no, I don't. I'm fine. So it can be any little small thing that when stress and nerves are high, turn into a much bigger thing. And I have to say, I think some parents love that there's hair and makeup appointments to book these days, just so that it's one thing that they don't have to fight about that morning. And God bless the people that do hair and makeup, because I'm sure it's quite the environment that morning to be in. And I realize that it's a hard ask in the moment, but I always remind everyone to enjoy the moment. The whole purpose of dancers and teachers and even parents doing all of this prep work for the last several months is so that we can go out there on the big day and kind of be able to like go into that zone where you are in control of what you're doing, you know what you're doing, and you can kind of just show up and enjoy it. And I know it's really, really difficult to get to that place, especially for the dancers who are trying to focus so hard on all of those corrections and all of those things that, you know, they want to do and want to achieve. But there's no greater joy as someone watching the competition to watch someone actually just get up there and enjoy themselves and their dancing. And I know I've had a couple of moments, they're few and far between, but I've had a couple of moments where I've been able to just sit there and watch a student dancing in a competition, and I can see how much they're enjoying themselves and living in the moment. And again, I don't think there's anything better than that. Like it's one of those things that almost moves me to tears sometimes, where you watch it and you can feel their genuine excitement and joy for being on stage. And to me, it is a huge, huge differentiator in performance quality. And I know there's no like category assigned to that for like judging purposes, but it's that je ne sais quoi quality that I can really appreciate as someone who just loves the sport. So whether your dancer is getting up there on a Kaylee team, doing their first traditional set or like subsidiary competition, I think it's awesome that the Southern Region is doing a little mini fesh to go along with their Aractas. Or if you're there for solos and it's your big, big day, I am wishing everyone the very best of luck. All of us, dancers, teachers, parents, everyone has worked really hard to get to this moment. I'm sure everyone has fought through a little bit of adversity, be it injuries, setbacks, unexpected challenges, and we all grow and learn from this process every single year. And it helps the dancers become the best humans that they can be as they spend so much time and effort and energy in this sport. So again, very, very best of luck to all the dancers out there. Teachers, remember that you have prepared your dancers the very best that you can. You understand what they're capable of. You've given them the tools. You've prepared them. You've invested your time and effort into them. And when they go out on stage, it is out of your hands. Be there to support them. Be there to be that shoulder to cry on or that pep talk that they need in the moment. And everyone will be able to go on from this day. It's not the end. Sometimes it feels like there's a ton of pressure on the teacher's shoulders, carrying everyone's hopes and dreams and goals. And hopefully there's not a lot of teachers out there that feel like your students' performances are a reflection on you as a person. But I can totally understand that there's people that are listening and go like, oh yeah, I feel that. Because ultimately, if your students meet their goals, you're naturally going to feel like you've met your goal or you've kind of satisfied or achieved yourself. But at the same time, my reminder to the dancers about their result not being a reflection of their character or their of them personally goes for teachers as well. That whether your students have an amazing, awesome Aractas, or if there's a lot of disappointment, it's not a reflection of you personally. But I do think there's value in that reflection process of stepping back and go, okay, what do we feel like we did really well in the preparations this year? And what did we miss or what did we overlook? And this is a process that I go through every year of always trying to refine, always trying to do better, always trying to learn something new. Honestly, I love learning new things, and the reflection process is huge for me in figuring out always what can we do better. And maybe that'll be a podcast episode for after Aractas. You can let me know, I guess, if that's something you'd be interested in. But that reflection process can be really valuable, and it's for teachers just as much as it is for dancers. And my final note, I think, for this podcast is for each of those audiences, dancers, parents, teachers, never make decisions when you're in a highly emotional state. So I know it can be really easy for dancers to feel like, oh, like, this is it. Like, I didn't achieve, and like, I disappointed myself, and like, that's it. Like, I don't want to compete anymore, or I don't want to dance anymore. I don't remember who said it, but I will always remember the saying, you know, always go out on your best day. Meaning, it's really easy to make that emotional decision to stop doing this or take a break or, you know, not compete or whatever it is after a result that you feel disappointed by. But I feel like everyone can really be at peace with, you know, finishing off their dancing career when you feel like you've gone out on your best day, because then you will feel like you have no regrets. You won't look back and, you know, wonder what if. And we always tell our dancers that you know in your heart when you're at peace with what you've done and when you're ready to move on to something else, be it, you know, I'm going to college, or I'm starting a new career, or I have this secondary interest or other interests that I'd really like to pursue and spend some more time on. And a lot of times I think we use those disappointments as, you know, ways to justify to ourselves that it's the time. But I think if you let it sit for a few days and, you know, make a decision in a more positive frame of mind, you will ultimately make a better decision, or at least feel better about your decision if it's ultimately the same. And that goes for teachers too. If you do have that, you know, elated celebrating, you know, we did it, we had a great Aractas feeling at the end of the weekend, you know, go through that reflective process and figure out what it was that got you there. And it, again, you have to bring that to every competition going forward. It doesn't, you know, solidify you or guarantee you anything in the future. And same with if you come away from the Aractas feeling really deflated of like, oh, we worked so hard and like the results were just really underwhelming. It doesn't mean it's time to like pack it in or walk away, or that you're a bad teacher, or that you don't know what you're doing, or whatever thoughts and feelings you might be having, just sit with those feelings, go through the reflective process, and come at it with a more growth mindset instead of just feeling really defeated. So with that said, I again wish everyone the very best at their Aractas, and next week's episode will be with a guest, and I hope everyone enjoys it. I think it will be a really helpful podcast episode for dancers that do have some, I guess, feelings of defeat or feelings of disappointment, and knowing that they're not alone in feeling those things. So with that, I'll see you next week, and best of luck everyone out there. Thanks for listening to TCRG to CEO Radio.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on TCRG to CEO Radio.